Well, good evening. Good evening. It seems a shame to stop you from talking, because in a little while we'll be asking you to talk and pray together. But just while we gather before God as we begin. So welcome to Poynton Methodist Church and to this Churches Together in Poynton Prayer and Praise Evening. I hope that you'll feel comfortable to pray with other people if you wish to, or to pray on your own if that's what you would prefer. Please feel relaxed here in God's house. All people are welcome here. At the end of the service, please stay for refreshments and we can continue in fellowship together then. So let us pray. Loving God, we come before you this evening as sisters and brothers. We come before you to pray together, to seek your will, and to give praise to you. We come to worship you, singing our hymns and our songs of praise. We pray, Lord, that you will accept our offerings, that you will meet with us here, that we will know the presence of your Holy Spirit amongst us, that we will know your word to us. So we offer you this time to the glory of your name. Amen. So I wonder, is there anybody here from St. George's? Anybody from St. Martin's? You were there this morning. That counts. St. Paul's? Brilliant. PCF? Thank you. Lost Ark Christian Fellowship? Not yet. Poynton Baptist? Brilliant. And, well, the Methodist Church. Forgot then. Brilliant. Thank you. And unfortunately, neither Wayne from PCF or Ken from Lost Ark Christian Fellowship can be with us this evening, but we'll hold them in our prayers as well. So I'm going to ask Julie from St. Paul's if she will start by reading from Holy Scripture for us. Thank you.
The reading is from a letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. I want you to be happy, always happy in the Lord. I repeat, what I want is your happiness. Let your tolerance be evident to everyone. The Lord is very near. There is no need to worry, but if there is anything you need, pray for it, asking God for it with prayer and thanksgiving. And that peace of God, which is so much greater than we can understand, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, fill your minds with everything that is true, everything that is noble, everything that is good and pure, everything that we love and honour, and everything that can be thought virtuous or worthy of praise. Keep doing all the things that you learned from me and have been taught by me and have heard or seen that I do. Then the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Julie. And we sing together, stand or sit as you feel most comfortable. We sing Love Divine.
Divine, O love, save,
Please be seated. Yes, amen, as somebody said, amen. Well, here at Pointed Methodist Church, we've become an eco-church. We've got our bronze, so we're very pleased with that, and we're working towards our silver, and Richard is leading that group, so he's going to lead us in some prayers.
I'm not actually going to lead you in prayers. I'm going to offer you an opportunity to pray. We, as a church, have chosen to commit to the eco-church movement. And as Ros has said, we found pretty much from what we were doing already that we qualified for the Bronze Award. And we're now going to try and work harder and hope that over the course of this year we're going to qualify for the Silver Award, which requires us to look at how we're managing our buildings, our land, how we are preaching and teaching, how we are engaging with our community and with our politicians, and how we are changing our lifestyle. So those are the things we're looking at. It sounds quite positive to be engaged in that process and to get an award, but our world isn't about awards. Our world is facing a very real problem at the moment. Earlier last week, we had the report from the IPCC, the Sixth Synthesis Report, which was a real stunning warning about the difficulties our planet is facing and the fact that in order to preserve any semblance of the creation that we've inherited, we're going to have to take radical political action within the next couple of years. We see these issues as threatening our futures, but they are very real realities for people across the world at the moment. I'm a passionate campaigner for Christian Aid, and when I'm educated about their work, it is almost all about addressing climate change. There are millions, tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of poor people across the world at the moment who are already suffering from the crisis that we, the wealthy industrialized nations, have created. So I'm going to offer you a little bit of time to pray in groups. I'm going to suggest that you might like to think of three aspects of prayer. The first one is to think about the glories of this world that God has created for us. So maybe spend a little bit of time reflecting on the flowers you've seen today, the blossom that's coming out on the trees, the sunshine that, well, I certainly experienced in North Wales. I'm not quite sure what you've experienced here. Have a little think on the wonders of this world that God's created. But then secondly, I invite you to express your grief for what is happening at the moment. There's a rich biblical tradition of lament, where the prophets and the psalmists grieved that the world is not as God intended. So you might like to share some thoughts about that. And the final thing you might like to do is to stop and listen. What is God asking you to do about this particular issue? God might be asking you to change your lifestyle, to eat less meat, to fly less often, to refrain from buying some of the luxury goods we enjoy. God might be asking you to engage in protest. There's to be a big demonstration in London on the 23rd of April. You'd be most welcome to go down there and join it. God might be simply asking you to educate yourself on the issues, to share them with your friends and family, to build a political consensus for the change we need. So pray your thanks for this world. Pray your grief for what we've done for it. And listen to God on what he's asking you to do. I think we've got 6 or 7 minutes for each of these slots. So I'll divide it in three, and at the end of each section, so that I don't have to interrupt your prayer. You will hear it. You can choose whether to move on to something else or dwell more deeply where you already are. The third one will be about 20 seconds to say amen before we move on to our next hymn. So let us pray for God's planet. And you'll just have to arrange yourself into groups how you wish.
We do, Lord. We do, Lord, say sorry for the things that we have done, for the times when we haven't realized the devastation that we're wreaking. But now that we do, Lord, we pray that you will help us to do better, that you will give us the will, personal and national and international, to look after the creation, the beauty of the creation that you have given us to look after. So, Lord, we pray, accept our sorrow at the state of creation at this time and our part in it. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's draw our prayers together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. We now sing a song that expresses our wonder at this planet. O Lord my God.
Please be seated. And now our prayers are going to have a focus of our own local community. So I invite you, after I've said a short prayer, to just speak out into the space any prayers that you would like to give, whether that's just a word or whether that's a short prayer. So we'll have a time of open prayer. focusing on our community. So let us pray. Lord God, we know and we trust that you have placed us in this community as your people to further your kingdom and to spread your word and your name so that others will come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. But Lord, we know that there are many things to give thanks for and many things to give intercessions for within our community. So Lord, hear us now as we pray for those words that we pray out loud and those that we pray in our hearts. So we hold before you, Lord, those in our community who are struggling this winter, those who are making that decision between heating and eating. We hold them before you, Lord. Hear our prayer.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Lord, for those who are leaders in our community. We thank you for the town council and the work that they do. We thank you for those who empty our bins, keep our streets clean. We thank you for the police. We thank you for all of those who help us to have a lovely and pleasant place to live. We thank you for them, and we pray that you will bless them and strengthen them and guide them in the tasks to which you have called them. Amen. And we sing together. Hear the call of the kingdom. Down before we have our next prayers, which Reuben will lead for us, why don't you mix around a little bit? Why don't I know, Matthew. Why don't we sort of mix around a bit, ready for the next section of prayers? If you don't wish to, that's fine, but it would be good.
Okay.
I see it's just the people from the Baptist Church still standing up. Should we go? Whilst you were chatting, I was looking out the window. Fox in the back garden. How cool is that? Tell you what, I'm not in London anymore, am I? So, Roz has asked me to lead some time of prayer concerning peace and concerning justice. Many of you know that I used to be a church planter in the country of Croatia. And Katie and I, my wife and I, we ended up there just after the War of Independence in that nation, where war was still rumbling in other parts of the former Yugoslavia. So when we were there, the Kosovan crisis was taking place and warplanes would regularly go over our heads. What the people of the former Yugoslavia, Serbia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Slovenia, Croatia, Macedonia, Montenegro, what they felt was that the world kind of gave up on them and the church kind of gave up on them. They prayed earnestly for the first year or so that war would end, and then they sensed that it all stopped. And I wonder whether I am guilty of doing that today. We're going to be praying into three war situations right now, because we want God to rock up and do some stuff, eh? We would love tonight that prayers that are prayed in this room transform society and transform life and transform what happens in our world, yeah? So we're going to pray into the situation in Syria, because the war there has been going on since 2011. That's 12 years. We're not going to get into the politics. Assad versus the Free Syrian Army. We're not going to get deeply into that. We're going to talk about the fact that 500,000 people, we believe, have died in that war, and that 6.6 million people are internally displaced in Syria as internal refugees in Syria in that war, and that 5.5 million refugees live outside, Syrian refugees live outside of Syria. And on top of that, there was an earthquake, wasn't there? 7,200 Syrians dead. Cities that had already been destroyed were more destroyed. We want God to do some stuff, yeah? So we're going to pray into the Syrian situation. We're also going to pray into Yemen. Anyone ever been to Yemen? Yemen. War there since 2014, the government versus this group of Houthi rebels, probably almost certainly backed by Iran. Believed to be 233,000 deaths. 6 million people in that nation at risk of famine tonight. 1 million at risk of cholera. 4.5 million who've been displaced. That's 2014. We mustn't give up. We mustn't give up. Can I talk to you about a war that we perhaps still are praying about, Ukraine, 1 year ago? Perhaps, who knows, 200,000 people have been killed or injured in the conflict itself. 5.2 million refugees have left Ukraine, and many are. Do we actually have anyone in Poynton, in your churches, from Ukraine who've moved in as refugees? We have a couple in our church. What's happened with the 5.2 million leaving Ukraine? It's now tipped the number to 100 million refugees across the world at this moment. 100 million people, way more than the population of the United Kingdom. 100 million people are forcibly displaced because of war, because of outrageous acts. Shall we pray? Because with a prayer, God can do amazing stuff. Yeah? I believe that prayer works, because I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I believe that God listens when we pray. And I believe that he asks us to say, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, the door will be opened. So should we ask, expect? Should we be expectant? Should we attempt great things for God and expect great things from him? So just in your newly appointed groups, should we pray for Syria, for Yemen, and for the Ukraine? And so, my Heavenly Father, we pray for the nation of Syria, we pray for the nation of Yemen, we pray for the nation of Ukraine, we pray for every single nation, area, region right now across our world that is experiencing war. And what we pray for is your shalom, that your wholeness and your completeness and your favor would return to those lands. And there will be harmony between those lands and heaven. So, Holy Spirit of the living God, would you move in such power? Would you bring your transformation? Would you come, Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Shall we sing?
Please be seated. And I think Matthew is going to lead us. Thank you.
The next topic for our prayers is that of revival. And as we pray, I want you to hold in your mind this verse from Habakkuk 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. Now, some of you will know that I am Welsh, particularly when the rugby's on. And I want to share with you something of the beginning of the Welsh revival of 1904 before we turn to prayer. February 1904, in the village of Newquay, in the church of which the Reverend Joseph Jenkins was pastor. And it was in a young people's meeting that a young 18-year-old, Florrie Evans, had come, recently converted, recently become a follower of Jesus. And as the pastor asked for a testimony to Jesus Christ, she responded with these words: "I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart." As soon as these words were uttered, the power of God fell upon that meeting, and one after another shared or testified or led in prayer, and a powerful work began to spread as many of those young people went with their minister to visit other places, taking good news with them. As others became involved in that revival, it soon became clear that there had been people praying for years beforehand. One of them, Seth Joshua, explained that he had been praying for 4 years, since the turn of that century, that God would raise up an ordinary person. The way he put it was either someone from the coal mines or someone from the field, someone ordinary to simply and humbly be used by God and speak of God into the nation of Wales. And God did raise up Evan Roberts, among others, like that. We might know some famous names from revivals, but also there are those others, those who were with Florrie Evans in that first meeting, those who just went simply and invited friends to come, those who walked into local pubs, those who visited friends and neighbours and invited people to come. May not be famous names, but they were instrumental in being used by God to bring revival. There's been something of a move of God in Asbury University in the States recently. And a visitor to that gathering spoke these words. They said they found no hype, no emotionalism, no manipulation or stirring up, no famous names, sometimes not even a face, just a voice coming from the side of the stage. They spoke of a hunger for personal renewal, relief from suffering, especially anxiety, despair, and addiction, and an outpouring of the Spirit that will save souls and revive churches. So, I'm going to invite you to pray. Three things: that testimony may echo through our churches, like that of Florrie Evans in 1904. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. Secondly, that we would see relief from suffering, that's anxiety, despair, addiction, and that we would know an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, pointing people to the beauty and the saving love of Jesus Christ, so that people would be saved and churches revived for the glory of God's kingdom. Would you turn in your groups? Pray for those things, for our testimony, that we would see relief from suffering in people's lives and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'll draw us back to prayer in about 6 minutes. So, Lord God, we have heard of your fame and we stand in awe of your deeds, your saving work in our own lives and the work you have done in each of our church communities. Lord, we ask, would you repeat them in our day? Would you make them known? Would we see your glory? Amen. After a story about the Welsh revival, there is only really one hymn that we could possibly sing, and it is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Would you stand if you're able?
As though we could have prayed and praised all night, couldn't we? Maybe that's what we need to do next. Let's pray. We know, Lord, and we have complete confidence that you have heard our prayers, the prayers of your people this evening. And we have confidence, Lord, that you will answer. We pray, Lord, that we will discern your voice, that we will follow your way, that we will love you with all our hearts, and that through your Holy Spirit working with us and through us, we will bring glory to your name. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we bless each other with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. And I think a round of applause for John on the organ. And please do stay for tea, coffee, posh biscuits. For us, posh for us.